This is Toby Sumter with your CrossPolitik Daily News Brief for Thursday, April 16th, 2020, coming at you live. The Associated Press reported Monday that Joe Biden has been accused of sexual assault. A former aide to Joe Biden is accusing the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee of sexually assaulting her during the early 1990s when he was a senator. Biden's campaign denies the charges. In two recent interviews with the Associated Press, Tara Reid alleged the assault occurred in the basement of a Capitol Hill office building in the spring of 1993. She filed a police report in Washington on Thursday, saying she was the victim of a sexual assault by an unnamed person in 1993, a copy of which was obtained by the Associated Press. It's not the first time Reid has made an accusation against the former vice president. Last year, Reid publicly accused Biden of inappropriately touching, but did not allege sexual assault. In a statement, Biden deputy campaign manager and communications director Kate Bedingfield said the former vice president, quote, firmly believes that women have a right to be heard and heard respectfully, but added, such claims should also be diligently reviewed by an independent press. Just remember that phrase, independent press. Earlier in the Democratic primary, Biden faced accusations of unwanted touching by several women who said they were uncomfortable with hugs, hand-holding, and other actions. Reid was among the women who came forward at that time. In recent weeks, she's given a handful of interviews saying Biden's actions went further than she initially disclosed. In an interview with the AP, she detailed a 1993 encounter that she says occurred when she was asked by a supervisor to bring Biden his gym bag as he was on his way down to the Senate gymnasium. She says Biden pushed her against a wall in the basement of a Capitol Hill office building and groped her. He was whispering to me and trying to kiss me at the same time, and he was saying, "Do you want to go somewhere else?" she said. "I remember wanting to say stop, but I don't know if I said it out loud or if I just thought it. I was kind of frozen up," unquote. Reid said she pulled away and Biden looked shocked and surprised and replied, "Come on, man, I heard you liked me." The Associated Press article goes on to detail the fact that no one in Biden's staff at the time remembers any reports of sexual harassment. No record of a report being filed has turned up thus far, and there is no other corroboration of these allegations. Ms. Reid apparently told a couple of close friends and family members of the incident, but there is, as of yet, no other evidence. For Christians and those who care about, you know, actual justice and the truth, there really should be significant pause when allegations are not backed up with, you know, evidence. We should not pounce on spicy allegations or be inclined to believe them simply because they come against a creepy old man who doesn't know what he's saying or where he is or what office he's running for. But what is of note in all this is the massive double standard. Numerous reports have surfaced pointing out the vast discrepancy in reporting between these allegations and those brought against Brett Kavanaugh during his Supreme Court confirmation hearings. For example, Howard Kurtz, writing for Fox News, writes, quote, "Tara Reid has more corroboration for her claim than Christine Blasey Ford did when she made her accusations against Brett Kavanaugh in the fall of 2018. The New York Times remained silent for 19 days before publishing a story on Reid's allegations. The Washington Post, after interviewing Reid starting late last year, declined to run a story until the paper decided to follow the Times a day later." Something about an independent press? Dean Baquette, executive editor at the New York Times, said he gets the argument that the Times should at least have run a short story on Reid's allegations at the outset. But he says, quote, "But I'm not sure that doing this sort of straightforward news story would have helped the reader understand." Straightforward news story. Yeah. But the contrast with the Kavanaugh episode is inescapable. Ford, a California professor, had written a confidential letter to a Democrat on the Senate panel weighing his Supreme Court nomination. Ford later went on the record with the Post, which published a lengthy story, and the Times and the rest of the media immediately pounced on her claims, immediately, leading to the confrontation at those famous televised hearings. But Ford was unable to produce any real-time corroboration because she said she told no one about the alleged incident at a high school party 4 decades earlier until 2012. That didn't slow the coverage one bit, even in the face of Kavanaugh's heated denials. Brent Scher at the Washington Free Beacon underlines the contrast in media coverage even more emphatically. Writing on Wednesday, he noted, Joe Biden has been asked 81 questions in over 2 hours worth of media interviews since a former staffer in his U.S. Senate office accused him of sexual assault 3 weeks ago. He's been asked 81 questions in over 2 hours worth of media interviews, and he hasn't fielded a single question about that allegation. He hasn't even been asked about it. Not once. Independent Press? Biden has sat for 10 interviews. This is still sure. Biden has sat for 10 interviews with major news outlets since March 24th, when his former aide, Tara Reid, accused him of pinning her against a wall and groping her in 1993 when she was a staff assistant in his office. None of Biden's 10 interlocutors have asked him to comment on the allegation. None. Zero. Zilch. Reid's new allegation was first revealed by The Intercept, which reported on March 24th that Time's Up Legal Defense Fund, an organization that was formed during the Me Too, the hashtag Me Too movement to support victims of sexual assault, declined to take up her case against Biden, get this, because he was running for president. Because he was running for president. Wait, what? They declined to take up her case. Why? Because he's running for president. The group, which is closely affiliated with top Biden advisor Anita Dunn, oh, that's helpful, said working on an allegation against a federal candidate for office could threaten its nonprofit tax status. Oh, that's rich. They can't take up this case because it might threaten its nonprofit tax status because Biden is running for president. It would not be lawful for the Jews to put Jesus to death because it's a holy day. Nor would it be lawful to put blood money in the temple treasury. The auditors might catch that. Got it. Scher continues, quote, though his campaign has flatly denied Reid's allegation, Biden himself argued less than 2 years ago during the 2018 confirmation hearings of Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh, who faced an accusation of sexual assault that nearly derailed his nomination. Again, this is what Biden said. You should believe all claims of sexual assault, especially in high-profile situations. Especially in high-profile situations. This is Biden. Quote, for a woman to come forward in the glaring lights of focus nationally, you've got to start off with the presumption that at least the essence of what she's talking about is real. Whether or not she forgets facts, whether or not it's been made worse or better over time. Biden said that in September 2018 during the Kavanaugh hearings. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez would seem to agree. Even after endorsing Biden, she said, I think it's legitimate to talk about these things. And if we want to have integrity, you can't say, you know, both believe women, support all of this until it inconveniences you, until it inconveniences us. Look at that. AOC talking about integrity. Apparently he's got a little bit more than the media right now. Another apparent sign of media bias that we don't have an independent press would be the admission of the New York Times that it edited its story after it was initially published last week. The Times deleted the final part of what seemed like a fairly damning sentence. This quote, the Times found no pattern of sexual misconduct by Mr. Biden beyond the hugs, kisses, and touching that women previously said made them uncomfortable. That quote was in the original story. Then, after receiving complaints from the Biden campaign, the sentence was revised to merely state that the Times found no pattern of sexual misconduct by Mr. Biden. Oh, okay. When asked about the charge, Dean Baquet, the change that is, when asked about that change, Dean Baquet explained, even though a lot of us, including me, had looked at it before the story went into the paper, I think that the campaign thought that the phrasing was awkward. Oh, the phrasing was awkward. And it made it look like there were other instances in which he had been accused of sexual misconduct, and that's not what the sentence was intended to say. So why not explain that? A columnist at the Times asked Baquet. And Baquet answered, we didn't think it was a factual mistake. I thought it was an awkward phrasing issue that could be read different ways and that it wasn't something factual we were correcting, so I didn't think that was necessary. The Times did not add a correction or an editor's note to the report after it was changed. The paper also deleted a tweet relating to the report, which was that quote, I believe, and explained, "We've deleted a tweet in this thread that had some imprecise language that has been changed in the story." Right. Okay. Others noted that Ruth Marcus, deputy editorial page editor for the Washington Post, was publicly adamant on Twitter during the Kavanaugh hearings. She said this in Twitter, "When a Supreme Court seat is on the line, the court and the country deserve the benefit of the doubt, not the nominee." Oh, really? Really? So when it's high profile, the country and the court deserve the benefit of the doubt, not the nominee. And then a few weeks later, the same gal, deputy editorial page editor of the Washington Post, was breathlessly announcing a book deal on the very subject with Simon & Schuster. Now, just remember, folks, that these are the same careful people, the same independent press who are reporting on the coronavirus crisis currently, who are number crunching behind the scenes, giving you data projections daily on COVID-19 cases and deaths. Truth, justice, and facts do not seem to be their strong suit. Due process, witnesses, two or three of them, independently, verifying, presumption of innocence until proven guilty, you know, the basic biblical standards of justice, consequences for false witnesses or testimony. And don't miss the fact that all of this applies to the COVID-19 crisis. Did we use due process, independent witnesses, and presume the innocence of law-abiding Americans when we shut the country down? Not hardly. We presumed everyone was guilty, everyone might be infected, might be a carrier, and treated everyone as a threat. And in the process, the government has stolen the livelihood of millions. Why? Because of fear, emotion, and media-driven hysteria. You know what the Democrats tried to do to Kavanaugh. Congratulations, America, you just got me too'd. You didn't do anything. You never went to that COVID party. You never even met her. You're innocent, but you got canceled. In other news, Joe Rogan says Trump versus Biden will be like Mike Tyson versus a three-year-old. That's it. That's all I have to say about that. And finally, unemployment numbers are out again today with another 5 million jobless claims in the last week, bringing the total to 22 million in just 4 weeks, an estimated 15% of the workforce now laid off in the United States. And on that note, let me point you to a project some friends are working on called Restart Now. And you can go and find it right now, restartnow.io. The website explains, "We've turned the lights off for communities across our country and around the world. Secondary impacts of the shutdowns threaten to become more serious than the virus itself. We combine data from a number of reputable sources to create a roadmap for social recovery by turning the economic lights on in a safe and productive manner. We need to flatten the curve of unemployment. We need to restart now." So go to restartnow.io. It's a data modeling website designed to help people see the impact of shutdown orders and isolation orders on the economy and other well-being indicators such as suicide rates. Go find your state. If it's open, if the data is there, you can see how it's broken down by county, and it's data for your leaders to make wise decisions. You know, truth, facts, evidence. Currently, 3 states have filled out: Idaho, Texas, and Florida. But consider supporting the work to fill out the map and get good information, good data to people and places of influence and authority. This is Toby Sumter with your CrossPolitik News Brief going live. Yeah, I don't know if we're ever do this again. But you can find this show and all the others on Fight Laugh Feast Network at crosspolitik.com. We do daily news briefs Monday through Friday if the sun is shining and the floods, you know, aren't too high. Support Rowdy Christian Media. Become a club member. Become a Fight Laugh Feast club member. Get your own t-shirt while supplies last. And, you know, there's a bunch of stuff, bunch of goodies behind the firewall. Become a member. Listen, watch, support us. Have a great Thursday.